Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. We got a great show planned again this week. It's been going great. The non-conference schedule in college basketball is just in full swing. Lots of stories starting to happen around the Northwest. Big game tonight in Seattle with Seattle U and Cal from the Pac-12 down at Key Arena. That's going to be something else for sure. I mean, that's going to be a big game. The Huskies they're winning the games they should win, which is good. They beat LMU by 2 points. That's not that impressive of a win, but at least they won. And so that's that. That story. I mean, obviously Gonzaga is running along very, very well. And I think they might possibly be a lot better than people thought. But most people expect them to be really good. The Cougars ran to a little bit of a snag there against Idaho, but then again, that's a really good Idaho team, just like the Seattle U team is a pretty good team. So, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. One of the really interesting stories in the Northwest, though, is Portland State. And the Vikings, really gave Duke a really, really hard run. And just kind of hung with them, battled, just kind of ran out of gas, had gotten into foul trouble, but just really, really stepped up to an incredible challenge with Duke when you consider the level of talent that Duke gets, and really played their hearts out against Duke, I thought. And then has continued to put on great shows this year. I mean, beat a Stanford team that I think is a good team. A lot of people think is not, but I believe they will be when all said and done, especially when they start getting some guys back that have been injured, and that's starting to happen. I think they're a team that will end up being a bubble team in the Pac-12 as far as an at-large bid. Maybe not because of their non-conference record more than anything else, but a team that will win as many Pac-12 games as other teams that are bubble teams, if you follow my drift. And then there's Montana, who's really not doing so bad either, and I think they've got some good talent, and they're going to compete in this Big Sky Conference. But just waiting to kind of see how this Big Sky shakes out. There's a lot of teams, a lot of promise. Obviously, Idaho is one, but Portland State has really made some moves. So we're kind of waiting to see what happens with this conference play in the Big Sky. Obviously, really interesting to see what's going on with Boise State in the Mountain West. I mean, they beat an Oregon team that I don't have to tell you how good that Oregon's going to be when all said and done this year with all the talent and what they do as a program. I think they're going to really, really turn it on in conference play. Portland State just gave Oregon a really serious challenge and ended up losing by 9 points, down in Eugene. So, I mean, that's something to be said for that, for sure. I mean, they lost by 11, excuse me, but it's something else, really. So we'll just have to see what's going on with all that. And, hopefully when all's said and done, it's going to be a real big battle in the Big Sky. Right now, Portland State is actually leading the Big Sky in wins. They've got 9 wins, which is incredible and amazing. We'll just have to see what happens. I mean, it's a lot of good players, a lot of good teams in that league. And again, Idaho is second with 8 wins. Northern Colorado is well tied with 8. Montana only 6-4, but I mean, you got some really good players on that Montana team, and I think they're gonna definitely be grinding out some wins. And they've played a really tough non-conference schedule, really, truthfully. Mod Rory's really kicking it in. A couple nights ago, he had 22 points. They've got a good thing going with Montana for sure. I think realistically you're going to be seeing a lot from the Grizz, but it doesn't really stop there. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of good players in that league. And, so that's going to be really fun to watch this year. And, again, going back to, Seattle U in the WAC. And I mean, this game against Cal tonight is really going to tell a big story. If they can compete against a big time Pac-12 program like Cal and get a win at home, where they're 7-0 right now at home in Seattle, I think it goes a long way to turning this Seattle U team into a team that's going to vie for a NIT bid if they don't win the WAC tournament, you know. And I think almost a certainty to get a CBI or a CIT, some sort of a postseason bid. And in Jim Hayford's first year, I think that would be a respectable place to be. So that's a pretty good situation, really. So we'll see what happens there. I'm expecting a guest to come on here pretty soon, so I'm going to put it on speakerphone for y'all while I just sort of manage and see what's going on there, see if he's if he's having a problem. I'm thinking hopefully it won't be too tough. Getting back to what's going on with today's guest, Coach Barrett Peery was originally with College of Southern Idaho, where I got to know him there. He was a big time junior college coach, coached a lot of guys that came, to D1 and had big careers there. And so I'm not sure what's going on with him calling in, but we'll get a chance to talk here in a minute. I'm just going to kind of just check in with him here a little bit and see what's going on. But after Tyler Geving was let go, he seemed to me to be a really good choice just because of all the connections he has and with talent. I mean, being at a really high level at CSI, bringing in all kinds of talent down there that went on to do all kinds of things in D1 for a number of years. He really knew where the players were, and it really is shown in his success at Portland State. And, so far this year, just to give you a little bit of a snip, and we'll be talking more about with Coach Peery, just so far this year, they beat Portland, from the WCC. They beat Willamette, just pounded them. That's which is a D2 school, 111-60. They beat Cal Riverside, which is actually one of the better big Go West teams this year. They beat them convincingly by 12. They beat a Utah State team, which is a Mountain West power. I mean, for years and years, they've been a solid, solid basketball program, usually with, five or six guys in their mid to late 20s, playing ball after their Mormon missions and all that stuff. Is sort of how they do things. And then they went and played Duke and 99-81 loss, but they were up by 4 at halftime and really kept it close until rather late when Duke really pulled away. Then they turned around and play a Butler team, which that was, of course, a number one Duke team at that time. Then they went ahead and played a Butler team and lost only by 2 there with Butler, which is a program that was, recently in the championship game. And, so that's that. So we'll see what happens with Coach Peery. He's kind of late calling in, but we'll talk to him, I'm sure, soon. And I'll get back off speaker here as we kind of back more to normal is the way the show sounds. But then he turned around, Coach Peery, and led him to an 87-78 win over Stanford. So, that's kind of says something. And this is on at a neutral site, and then they turn around and just pummeled Portland Bible. I've never heard of that school, so it's not real surprising. But they beat them 125-50. Boy, for you math guys, that's something like I don't know what the ratio is, but it's almost 2.5-1 there. Well, it's 2.5-1 exactly is what it is. And then Loyola Marymount, they beat a team that UW really struggled with this week and beat them handily on the road. UW had a problem beating them by 2 at home. They went down to Westchester, California, and beat Loyola Marymount by 9. They turned around and beat Santa Clara, another WCC team that's off and on had some pretty good teams, and so on and so forth. Beat them by 3, also on the road. And then they went to Oregon and lost by 11, like I mentioned, and then turned around and beat another D2 opponent, Linfield College. But again, once again, just absolutely destroyed them, 116-71. So they're just real consistent. It's really not a bad effort this year that I look at, and I see their schedule. He's got them playing really solid consistently, and losing to Oregon by 9 points is nothing to scoff at, and especially in Matthew Knight Arena. So nor is that game against Duke, and the only other loss they had was Butler, where they lost by 2. So I mean, they're a team that realistically at this point is looking like they're heading for the postseason too. I mean, they're like I said, they're playing California. Also, along with Seattle U, they're playing California day after tomorrow on Thursday. So that'll be a real interesting game for you folks to watch. And you can kind of A-B it with how Cal does against Seattle U and see what's going on as far as maybe Northwest superiority. But you got to think right now, Portland State's one of the top, lower major programs in the Northwest, along with Idaho and Seattle U and Montana. There's really some good ones out there. So we'll find out shortly what's going on here from Coach Peary, and want to hear all about his players. I was real impressed with the effort on defense against Duke. They really did a good job, and they also were able to score against them pretty well too. I think it was 46-42 at half or something like that. So it was a real wild, high pace and solid effort. So against Duke and also against Stanford, I saw that game too. It was amazing. So we'll just have to see what happens here. But while we're waiting for Coach Peary to appear, no pun intended, we can talk a little bit about just some of the subplots around the Seattle area. I mean, Garfield right now is the number one team in the state in their division, and a national contender, really. And they've definitely done some pretty amazing things too. Worth mentioning, I think, Brandon Roy, big time coach, let's just be real. I mean, part of coaching is recruiting, or, in the case of high school, I guess they can't recruit, but getting players. And they've successfully done that. There's no question about it. And so I'm thinking this is going to be, and I mean, Rainier Beach lost in a national tournament, but obviously playing against some of the top teams in the country. So it's kind of hard to say how good Beach is going to be. They're going to be pretty good. And Seattle Prep really gave Garfield a real run. That's for sure. They really gave him a scare, but Garfield was able to pull it out in overtime. And Garfield's going to have some competition in here locally, but they, for some reason, they just keep winning. So you gotta get a hand to them. They know what they're doing there, So as far as who's really doing the damage for Garfield, I mean, you got a lot of guys that are capable of scoring. You got Jamon Kemp is really putting on a show. As far as you want to go see someone who's really flashy, he's your guy here locally next to Kevin Porter. Both those guys are, they got that extra something, that's for sure. Pierre Cockrell was the guy that really carried him in that Seattle Prep game, put up a huge numbers, actually. I think he scored 29 points and really carried him. PJ Fuller is another big time high flying athlete, and we all know what he can do based on what he did last year with Nathan Hale, and just all the excitement he's created on the summer circuit and stuff. And then Ed Chang, I think, is still out, but he's shown a lot of promise, and he's taller than what he has listed. But I think there's obviously the top guy on their team is 6'9" Jerron Brooks, who's a senior and is probably going to be putting in a solid effort this year. And as they get Chang in there, and Marshawn Beauchamp is another guy that I think is going to be a valuable player for them, both as a scoring threat and as a solid overall physical presence on the court. A lot of talent there for sure. So it's going to be fun to watch this high school season. That's for sure. And so we'll see. I'll be getting going with somebody will be calling in the show here soon enough. We'll be getting something going with Portland State. But I'm thinking in terms of what's going on with the UW. I mean, we've kind of agonized about it. I mean, it's they just don't have enough talent yet to really compete in the Pac-12, and I'm not sure whether they're going to be able to get it. I mean, we'll see what happens in the spring. We'll see what happens with this season if they're able to really make that kind of noise, to the point where you think, well, hey, this is a team that's going to attract a lot of talent. That's because that's what they have to do. I mean, you can talk all you want about winning games that Romar would have lost, but I think the problem with them is they don't have the recruits that Romar didn't lose, that what he won, and he didn't win it by paying them. He didn't win them by the sleaze that's going on, that the FBI has become aware of to the point where people are being invited. He did it the right way. He did it not only the right way, but he came with the very clever ways of competing within the rules while others were cheating. So I'll just be real about what's going on there. And that's why it was so disappointing that, and so kind of ham-handed that he was fired, in my opinion. So he really had the talent going in the right direction, and that's what you need. I mean, you need talent, you need experience, and you need depth, you need numbers. Right now, UW is, they've got some guys that are getting older, which is good. And they certainly are better than they were last year, sophomores and freshmen, which makes sense, and they should be. That's good, that good sign. So they're winning more games, and they've got a reasonable pro prospect in Jalen Noel, who is maybe not quite as flashy as Marco Fultz, but a lot of people remark that he's a great closer and such. So the I wouldn't say it's an absolutely huge downgrade from Markel Fultz to Jalen Noel. He does a lot of good things for their team. So, but it is a downgrade, I would say. Noel is number one draft pick. I mean, Fultz number one draft pick in the NBA draft. So, I think anybody in the right mind would say it's a downgrade. But Noel's got some great qualities, and I think he's going to be around longer. So he might just end up being a big positive. But again, he was a Romar guy, so I'm not seeing guys of that kind of quality. We'll have to see as we look at guys like Elijah Hardy and Ed Shanks is going to be 2019 if he sticks with Washington or whatever. But Nate Roberts and of course Jamal Bay, and I guess there's a chance that Nate Pryor might be involved in that class of 2018. And then they've got some other guys that they're looking at, UW. They've got some people are saying Jerron Brooks is going to come there. I have no really evidence to state that other than just what I'm hearing with these people out there on these recruiting experts saying that. But I from what I know, I don't think that's necessarily true. And then the other thing is another guy that they're talking about is Brian Dan Johnson, who's a big-time physical presence in the middle, very raw. So you get a couple, let's say you bring him in, Jerron Brooks. Let's say you bring in, you've already got Nate Roberts. You got some more bigs. You got something going on with a bunch of young players. That's cool. And then you got your real senior dominated team next year with the, four seniors with Noah Dickerson and David Crisp and Tease Thibel and Dominic Green, and you got some veterans behind him with Timmons and hopefully Carlos Johnson sticks it out, and you got yourself a fairly veteran looking team with some good young players coming up, you know, Hamir Wright and, you know, Naz Carter and of course Noel, sophomores, and you probably got a team that's gonna maybe, you know, could make it to 500, could be a 500 team, you know, but the problem is the Pac-12 is just so much talent, and it's hard to say how they're gonna be able to compete. Now I know that this FBI thing has really rung the bell of the top guys who, in my opinion, are not the most ethical in the country. When you talk about Oregon, who didn't get dung by the FBI, but I know that the FBI, from all reports, is looking into Nike and the whole Nike system, and hey, I don't need to tell any more than I've already said. And then beyond that, USC, who they dung, like Tony Bland, and Arizona with Book Richardson, ding-ding, cha-ching, the whole story, all the things that, we got him on the line. This is great. So, finally, this is perfect. Is this Coach Barrett Perry from Portland State University?
It is.
Oh, fantastic.
Sorry. I apologize.
You know something, it's okay. I was able to ad lib, and that's part of being a radio guy, is you're able to cover. I basically did what I was going to sort of do after you, kind of before you, and off the top of my head, I would have. So I had a good time kind of going through the Northwest and some of the stories that are going on there. And one of them, of course, is your team, who's really had a great, surprising season in your first year, and just some really entertaining games and real success, to be honest with you. I mean, you probably feel you could do better, but tell me, how are you feeling about it so far?
Well, you're always greedy. You always feel like you could be doing better. You know, we've won 9 games, but all you want to do is complain about the 3 you've lost. So, you know, we lost 3 games. We lost to Duke. We lost to Butler by a couple, had a shot to win, and then we lost on the road to Oregon. But, you know, overall, after 12 games, we're really pleased with where we're at. You know, we've had 3 home games in 12, and, you know, as you might know, we don't even have a true home court this year because we're building a $51 million arena right here on campus, which will be done in April and will be fantastic for us. But right now, everything is kind of a road game. We play our home games down the road at a Division II school locally here, and they're just kind of building for the future as far as our construction is concerned. But as far as our team now is kind of the thing we're thinking about. I'm not looking for the future at all, but now, and our guys have really responded.
Yeah, it sounds to me like they have. And your past, I mean, I remember you from a College of Southern Idaho, where you just had tons and tons of great talent go through there and a lot of success on the junior college circuit and junior college ranks. And you've done quite a bit since then, I think. I'm not sure what you did after that, but where did you go after College of Southern Idaho before Portland State?
After CSI, I went to the University of Utah as an assistant coach. I was there for 3 years, and then I took over another great program at Indian Hills in Iowa, which is a great junior college program. We had some really good success there. Went to the national tournament each year and made some good runs. And then I left there and went to Arizona State with Herb Sendek. And then we were let go at Arizona State after just 1 year with him. And so I went with Herb to Santa Clara and then came here.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like you've done a lot of good stuff. And I mean, obviously, Indian Hill is the power. I remember them from that movie Dreams, of course. But they've just consistently over the years done great stuff. And then with Utah, I think you were there with – you must have been there with Coach Krestowiak then, right?
Nope, Jim Boylan. Jim Boylan, who's back
with
in the
Jim,
NBA
okay,
now.
Got, okay, good. Okay, that's, I got that. Yep. Okay. So you've been around the wars, but now you seem like you got a team that's very tough minded. I saw you guys against Duke, and it was a battle. You guys just did not quit, and that 18-point loss is really misleading because you guys were leading by 4 at halftime and really hung with them for about half of the second half, and then they started kind of pouring it on with all these big time moves. You guys got in a little bit of foul trouble, but I noticed you guys just never quit fighting.
Well, I knew the free throw disparity would be a little bit of a challenge when it was 42-12. I didn't know it'd be that bad, but we fought to the very end. Our guys did a good job, and you know, bounced back the very next day and had a great game against Butler, and then finished that PK 80 beating Stanford, kind of going away. Our guys really responded well in that tournament, did a good job, and probably gave us a lot of confidence for future games. You know, we've had some really good road wins at Santa Clara, at Loyola Marymount, at Portland, at Riverside.
Yep.
We beat Utah State. So our guys have really been battle-tested to this point, and I'm proud of them.
Yeah, I would be too. I've been really impressed. That Stanford game was a good win. I think people don't really know, you know, how good of a team that is right now. And I think that as they get a few guys back and get into a groove in conference play, I mean, they've had kind of a weak showing in non-conference, but I think they've got a lot of talent. I think you beat a pretty good team there, really, when all said and done. And then that Oregon game, I mean, I don't need to tell you how good Oregon is. We only need to look back to the Final Four and, you know, see what happened last year here. But I think they're going to be really good. I think he's going to get them playing really well. And you guys showed pretty well, I thought. I mean, it was a close game, really. And that's a tough team to play at home, too.
Yeah, no, we had I think it was a 2-point game with about 3 or 4 minutes to go, and you know they have a ton of length, and you know we're pretty banged up right now. Actually, I'm worried about us for Thursday. We play Cal on Thursday, and we're still missing a couple big guys. A kid that that is our starting 4-man hasn't played for about 2 weeks, and kind of wrestling with what we're going to do with him on Thursday because conference coming up right after Christmas. But when we're healthy, when we have all of our guys, I think we have a really good team, and I think that our guys have really, you know, responded to how we want to play, how we want to do things, and have really dove into what we want.
Yeah, it seems like you're doing pretty well. You know, right now, just that the way things are going, you know, you got Deontay North, he's averaging 20 points a game. I mean, obviously you guys are scoring pretty well. You got not only him there, you got Bryce Canada at 18 points a game and Holland Woods at 11. And it seems like you're also doing a pretty good job of taking care of the just keeping the pace up and just making shots. You know, you got, you know, most everybody's shooting pretty well at the free throw line. Guys are capitalizing from three pretty well. What is it about your system that's changed that's brought you guys to this kind of a pace?
You know, what is it? You know, we practice and play like that every day. You know, that's how we do things. We're always going to press. We're always going to push the ball in transition. We always, you know, we practice fast. We play fast. That's how we do things. You know, whether it's from drill to drill on a Tuesday afternoon in practice, whether it's on Saturday night against Duke, you know, we're going to play the same way all the time. We're going to play fast. We're going to jam the ball on missed shots and get to spots and try to press you on misses. We're going to try to be in different presses on makes. And we really want to make you play our way.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, you got another guy that's averaging 10 points a game, Michael Mayhew, and another guy at 9, and then you got some size. You definitely got some speed and talent. As far as like your team, I mean, it seems like it's got a lot of potential. There's a lot of guys coming back next year, it seems to me, from looking at your roster. I mean, what are you doing to sort of build the program up? I noticed you picked up quite a few guys as well in the November signing period. Who are some of the guys that are going to be coming into the program that you can talk about?
Well, we signed 6 guys in the fall. We signed 3 high school guys and 3 JUCO guys. I thought we really targeted some guys that we needed to fit our needs and fit what we were losing. You know, we signed 2 local kids, a big kid that's really skilled and has a really high motor. We signed a guard from here, a wing guard, that can really score. He'll lead the state of Oregon in scoring this year. He's a long 6'5 scoring guard.
We
signed another
name?
Big kid in Arizona. His name is Kyle Greeley. We signed a big kid from Arizona, a high school kid that's a 6'10", high energy, has a good edge to him about running and getting up and down the floor, blocking shots and getting physical around the rim. And we signed 3 JUCO guys, so our balance is pretty good. A couple perimeter guys that are JUCO guys, and then a 4-man that can play inside out. Guys that come from good programs and guys that are being taught well, so I think we can get them into our system and get them going really quick. I like what we did as far as targeting guys that we thought would really fit us.
Yeah, I mean, and being a coach at JUCO at the highest level and really knowing that circuit and knowing everybody that's involved there, I mean, it's got to really help, you know, in finding the right players to fit your system. And you got a great town there to you're right in the middle of downtown Portland with what you guys do and marketing the program. It's a great place to go to school. It's a big, if people, I don't think people know as much how big the school is. Isn't it the biggest school in the state as far as actual numbers?
It's the biggest school in the state. Yeah. And it's right here downtown.
Yeah.
You know, we have a beautiful city, beautiful campus, you know, Nike's
yeah.
here. The Blazers are here, you
yep.
know, and then, like I said earlier in our talk, with this new arena being built, you know, I think that was probably our biggest stumbling block over the years is not having a special facility. You know,
mm-hmm.
now next year at this time, we'll have an arena, we'll have a practice facility, a new locker room, new weight room, new offices. And it'll really change our world and how things have been at Portland State over the years.
Yeah, it sounds to me, and your coaching style seems to be an exciting one too, and that certainly doesn't hurt. I mean, it's always nice to the real slow it down, grind it out, you know, the Dick Bennett's of the world and all that kind of stuff is wins games, but it sure is fun to watch teams that really get up and down and really, you know, really push it. You got a lot of players there. You got a lot of talent players. You got a guy from that played at Gonzaga for 4 years, a grad transfer, Ryan Edwards, played a lot of minutes
yeah.
on you know, a team that went to the national title game. And you got some pretty good talent right there. What are some of the stories of guys that you maybe, you know, have just really kind of come into their own in the non-conference season that you've seen make some real improvement over this last off season?
Well, Ryan's a great example. You know, Ryan had a great experience at Gonzaga, but, you know, obviously, as everybody knows, had probably sat behind, you know, four or five different draft choices over his years there. And so
sure he did.
He was a grad transfer for us, and he was a guy that just wanted to get an opportunity to come and play, you know, and he had a situation where he'd played off and on over the years, but never any consistency because of all the talent they had. And so we were able to get Ryan to come here, and I think Ryan's going to be really good for us in the Big Sky season. You know, he's very skilled around the rim, good big
mm-hmm.
scorer. A guy like Mike Mayhew, you know, who really didn't have much of an opportunity last year to play, has really come into his own, found his shot, found his confidence, and done a good job. You know, the returners like, you know, North and Kanda, you know, those guys did pretty well last year. North came off the bench, but he's really found his confidence in our system and obviously
mm-hmm.
scored the ball well. And Kanda has done a little bit of everything for us,
mm-hmm.
including play a ton of minutes at multiple positions with all these injuries. And then, you know, somebody like Holland Woods, who's a freshman playing point guard for us. Him and
yep.
Strickland have really done a good job comboing up on that. But we have good guys that will be returning for us, as well as, you know, we'll be losing some good guys, and that's where recruiting comes into play.
Yeah, and it seems like you're no stranger to that, just because it seems like you're bringing in quality talent and you know the JC stuff, and so that's going to help you a lot. Now, this Big Sky Conference, seriously, is no joke, and you guys have been one of the real – remarkable stories. I mean, a lot of people didn't really know what to expect, new coach and everything with coming from you guys. And, but, you know, I think you really, you know, really send the message out there, but there's some other really good teams out there. Obviously, Idaho is just really getting it done so far. And then of course, Montana's had some really strong moments. I think they got a lot of talent, and you know, another guy that really has had success in that conference. And then there's, you know, there's a bunch of others too. There's Weber. There's, you know, there's Grand Canyon. It's a lot of really, really good talent. What have you noticed about the Big Sky so far?
Well, I think, you know, I obviously you go week to week, and so I haven't studied teams in our league, but I know enough to know that obviously everybody thinks Idaho is going to be very good, and they've shown that. They had a great win last night at Western Michigan, blew them out by like 20 or 30 points, and they've played a good schedule. Northern Colorado has 7 or 8 wins right now. They've done a good job. Weber obviously will always be around. I don't care what their record is at this time of year. Randy
yeah.
does a great job with his team, and then Montana has always been a staple, you know, in this league, of someone that's been, you know, up in those 3 or 4 different spots at the top. So, you know, I think you have your usual suspects. Eastern Washington is supposed to be a talented team. But bottom line is you know, like we will all end up telling our teams whether we've been good or bad in the preseason. you know, everybody will come back from Christmas and they'll be 0-0, and now it's time to get back to work and build a new resume. But I think everybody likes to talk about Idaho as far as a team that's got the most talent and the best chance to win.
Yeah, well, right now you got one more win than they do, and technically you're on top of the Big Sky's standings. But the record that I suppose matters is conference play, and so everyone's even. But then it's a one bid league, really, and I don't think that they've ever had that large bid there. So it all comes down to that final weekend and the conference tournament. So, I mean, right now you guys are showing to be pretty competitive. So I wouldn't count you out. Now you got coming up, you got this Cal game, which I know a lot of Pac-12 fans are going to be real interested to see how that turns out. And you're going to start in with conference play right away here coming up next Friday. So I mean, it's just we're getting right in there, and we're going to find out soon how that does. And, again, Eastern has a win over Stanford. I mean, you know, there's a lot of real interesting teams that are gonna show in just night in, night out in the Big Sky. So I guess just as you know, before I let you go and get back to your team and stuff like that, you know, as far as the way that the team's going, is there anything that you know about this team that you feel is the thing you most need to work on to get ready for this conference season?
You know, I think probably we just need to continue to be good in the half court defensively. I think we're able to really pressure the ball full court. And then when we have to settle in deeper into shot clocks, we got to continue to get better at that. And then for us, I can't coach this particular thing, but we just got to get healthy. We got to get our team healthy and ready to go for January 1st and then go from there.
Yeah, I think so, man. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch you. And let's keep up the good work and keep up the excitement down there, and looking forward to seeing this as these years go by. You get this arena going. Is that going to be next year?
Yep, we'll be into it this summer, and we'll be playing in it next fall.
That sounds great. Well, Coach Barrett Perry from Portland State University Vikings, I really appreciate you coming on and giving us the lowdown.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Anytime. All the best.
Thank you so much. I look forward to having you back, hopefully, as we get closer to the meat of the conference schedule as we see what's going to be happening as this season progresses. And again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You bet. Coach Barrett Perry from Portland State, head coach of the Portland State Vikings. That was a nice little showcase of what he's got going there. And again, if you haven't seen him play, they're real exciting. I got to say, I really think they're going to take some teams down in the Big Sky. I mean, there's, like I said, Idaho's got that the veteran look, but so do they. I mean, their top three guys are all seniors, and he seems like he knows how to get these JC guys. So that's a big plus, and he's also recruiting well from as far as freshmen coming in, too. He's got a freshman that's one of his top guys this year that's a pure freshman, and he's got the top scorer in the state of Oregon, apparently, coming in. Too. So, you know, it's he's recruiting locally. He's got a lot of guys from around the country, and that's going to be interesting to see what happens when they get the new arena and everything. There's, you know, that's college basketball in a big city there with an NBA team. So, you get a little momentum. It could really turn. It's a lot cheaper to buy a ticket at Portland State. I don't know if you appreciate me saying that, but I think it's the truth. Than it is to go to see the Blazers. So. You can get some excitement going in that gym, I bet. So, you know, getting back to what's going on with the whole picture in the Northwest. I mean, like I said, I was talking a little bit about Washington and what could be happening recruiting wise and how they're going to build up the program. So it's going to take a few years, and you're looking at a Pac-12, which is. I mean, pretty darn good right now. And, you know, I kind of got to wonder, you know, when, you know, just how they're going to be able to compete. And I guess, unfortunately, my feeling is they don't care over UW. That's kind of my feeling. They really care about football. They really care about a number of other sports. I don't have the feeling that they really care about basketball. So we'll see if that's the case. When you have a situation like Michael and Jonte Porter and that Porter family sitting on your doorstep and signed, sealed, and delivered, and you got you know, two other guys like Dejan and Noel and Blake Harris and Diarra, who's on a top 15 team now at Cincinnati, and just walk away from all that talent. I mean, you know, when you're a fantasy basketball guy, let's say you're a fantasy basketball guy and you're putting together a team, what you do is you try to find talent, okay? Now, everyone's saying, well, it's just all about coaching. Romar couldn't coach, he'd lose, blah, 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 blah. Well, look at Stanford. They lost, and they lost a bunch of games, you know, but they got some talent. They're gonna get it together in Pac-12 season. Look at Oregon. They lost a bunch of games, lost to Boise State, lost to a couple others. They're going to get it together in this Pac-12 season. Last year, they were in the Final Four. Is Washington going to make the Final Four, you know, with the talent they've got? No. Oregon did it last year. So, you know, I mean, you got to look and see what you're up against. You got Arizona. Okay, now that Alonzo Trier just got hurt, I mean, he's going to be out for a while. They're going to struggle. You're darn right they're going to make the NCAA tournament with that talent. Okay, they're going to. Arizona State, right now they're ranked in the top three nationally. Yeah, I think they're going to make the NCAA tournament. Cal, struggling right now, but, you know, probably not one of the top teams. You got a chance maybe of knocking off a Cal, maybe at home. It's kind of hard for a team like this, still really no seniors at UW. Will they win any road games in the Pac-12 this year? We'll see. We'll see what kind of coach Hopkins is. Can you get these guys motivated to win a game like that? You know, they got that big Kansas win. Let's just hope he does. Let's hope he does. Let's say they do. Who knows? Maybe they get a win. Colorado, very tough. Certainly not easy to win on the road. Maybe you beat them at home, but they're really pulling it together. They've kind of pulled this together. They've stuck with Tad Boyle, and he's had some success in the past. Looks like he's back to doing it again. So how they're going to compete against Colorado? I mean, that's a team that maybe Washington could steal a win at home there. Oregon, I just don't think so. I think Oregon is just on a different plane, just like Gonzaga. I think there's so much talent, there's so much depth, there's so much experience, and coaching is so efficient, and the whole system is so efficient. It's going to be one of these 25, 30-point drubbings at home, and then another 40, 50-point if they want. They can name the score, probably beat you up. Oregon State, you know, they got more talent than UW as right now. Whether they're going to perform, we'll see. You know, I mean, Wayne Tinkle's, a lot of people are questioning, you know, what he's doing and how he's done, but I personally think they're a better team than UW right now. You're looking at what UW's got a lot of wins, maybe, but you know, Oregon State's won six in a row now. They haven't beat much of anybody, but they just beat St. Louis and beat them by three, you know. They beat them at home over there in Corvallis, okay? And St. Louis isn't maybe having the best year, but that's a pretty good win. They lost to St. John's, which is a good team, solid team, by five, and they lost to a Long Beach State. That was back in November on Thanksgiving weekend. They lost to them by five, and Long Beach State is a team that has talent. They beat them like the week before. So let's say they're on par with a Long Beach State from the Big West. Cool, you know? That's like UW and Seattle U are sort of on par, but it's just not, you know, Oregon State, you know, I think they're going to be okay, but they're not one of the top teams in the Pac-12. We know that, but they're a team that's got some talent, and they're a team that's probably going to end up being a real challenge for UW, certainly on the road, you know. Stanford, same story. UCLA, they're going to pull it together. They're going to be a lot better than UW. They're going to embarrass UW again. USC, same story. A lot of talent, going to embarrass UW, not even in their class. Utah, unfortunately, probably almost the same story there. Probably embarrass UW both home and away if they play them. I don't remember right now. And then Washington State, you know, a lot of people thought that, you know, Washington State were kind of even, and then Washington State really pulled out ahead, and then Washington got that win at Kansas with Kansas, or that, you know, and so for that, well, maybe Washington could be better than Washington State. I think Washington State's a better team too. So I think really realistically, the only teams that UW can probably for sure feel good about finishing ahead of in this Pac-12 are maybe Cal. And we'll see the Cal Bears tonight against Seattle U and against Portland State on Thursday, so we'll see more about that. But Cal is, you know, again, Cal's not that bad. Cal's not that bad. They have is big guys. They got the senior Marcus Lee from Kentucky, and they've got Kingsley Okoro. They got some big guys, and UW doesn't have many big guys. So, you know, they beat a Cal State Fullerton team. You know, they beat a San Diego State team. That was a big win. They beat a Cal State Northridge team that, you know, is actually not a bad program. They beat them pretty solidly. They lost to a St. Mary's team, which is traditionally a powerful team. They lost to a Chaminade team, which is obviously a pretty pathetic loss. But they lost, and they lost to a VCU and Wichita State. Those are both teams that you'd expect to lose to if you're Cal right now. And they beat Cal Poly and Wofford. So they lost to the Riverside team that Portland State beat. So basically, you got a team that's kind of in a similar situation as UW that maybe hasn't had quite as good of a non-conference season. But again, when you're talking about, you know, what they've got between the lines, I mean, you've got those big men. Those big men are really going to cause a lot of trouble for a lot of teams in the Pac-12. It's just a matter if they can manufacture some play out of their guards. And that's kind of been the challenge. But, Don Coleman's averaging 21 points a game. Darius McNeil, 13. And then, Marcus Lee, 12 with 8 boards. And Marcus has got, what he's doing as far as shots. He's got 27 blocks, and Kingsley Carl's got 26. So you better be able to shoot the ball well when they have that kind of defense in the paint. And you better be able to rebound. And, you know, that's kind of a challenge for the Dogs right now. So, I mean, I just don't know that they're not the worst team in the Pac-12 for all the talk of, what's going on. Maybe they're better than Cal, you know. But they're certainly not better than Arizona State, USC, UCLA, Colorado. They might be able to get a win, but not better than them. And Utah, no way. And Oregon, no way. And Oregon State, I wouldn't think. So, yeah, 10, 11, 12. Let's say you somehow end up better than Oregon State and Cal and Wazoo. Let's say you end up ninth place. That's like your absolute 100% lock ceiling for UW. You know, how is that the right thing to do, to fire Romar and get rid of the Porter brothers and all this talent and all the success they've had locally with recruiting? I mean, you know, yes, they're saying that Jerron Brooks is going to go to UW or, you know, whatever. We'll see when it happens, you know, but all the top guys in state, none of them aren't going to UW, not one of them. So, I mean, they got guys that are coming that are, you know, 3, maybe 4-star guys. But as far as the top local guys, in a good year for a basketball player, especially guards, not one of them wanted to go to UW. Not Kevin Porter, not Jerron Brooks, who signed at USC. Maybe will now, but we'll see. And then, of course, not Eric Stevenson's going to Wichita State and not Emmett Matthews, who's going to UConn and others. So, they're not getting anybody locally from in a good year. And can you build a program at UW not getting anybody locally? You can't get transfers in at UW. You can't bring in grad transfers like Barrett Perry did with Ryan Edwards from Gonzaga. You know, you can't do that at UW. Okay, maybe can you build up with JC guys? In a Pac-12, that's not really a way to be a successful program that goes to the tournament. That's a way to be, you know, functional and maybe possibly, you know, get through to the next year without embarrassing yourself. That's all about. Unless you're like Oregon. And I won't say how they do it, but when you get the top JC guy, like 2 out of every 3 years, that's how you get somewhere with JC guys in the Pac-12, not the Big Sky, but the Pac-12. And then you get 5-star guys. You get the 5-stars. You get the guys that go to Arizona. You get the top guys. You guys get the guys that are going into the NBA draft after 1 year. And you get a bunch of other guys that are going to be 2 and 3 year guys that are getting drafted. So that's what you do. And that's how you win at that level. And Washington, it's not happening right now. So our basketball fans out there in the Northwest that are tend to be Washington fans, watch Washington over the last, 16 years and 16 millionaires, 17 soon to be probably 18 if you want to include Jontay Porter, millionaires, NBA players come through here. Are they going to be happy with no NBA players? Are they going to be happy with 8, 9, 10 finishes at the top or worse every year in, year out? That's the question. And that's what you're going to get. That's what we're going to get this year. That's what we're going to get next year. Maybe, possibly a little higher, like a 7-11. It's just, Washington State right now are kind of sad programs. Washington State actually a little bit more to go on, but they've been really floundering, and for some reason they picked it up now with our guy Ed Haskins, who went and got one of the other top players in the state, C.J. Ellerbe. So the only guy in the state that goes to a state school is there's one out of five, and they go to Wazoo. What does it say for the Huskies? Well, they maybe get Jaron Brooks. So if they do that, then that's going to be good, because he's probably the best guy in the state. If I had to pick one player to bring on your team, he's a big man with size and real skill and a solid player that's probably not going to go one and done, that's going to be around for a while and give you some solid minutes. And he's definitely a Pac-12 level player, so he's going to be a guy that next year, if he comes to UW, will really help you, bring him in there and add to, whereas I think a guy like Nate Roberts is more of a guy that's going to take a few years before he can really contribute, kind of like Sam Timmons, be well to redshirt. Guy like Brian Penn Johnson maybe could help you just because he's so flashy and athletic and just a physical presence and with his size and such as that. And maybe Nate Roberts is like that too, to some degree, but inexperienced, skinny, Penn Johnson a little bit bigger. So maybe if you were to get all these guys, if all the dominoes were to fall into, maybe you have enough big guys to sort of take a shot at some of these Pac-12 teams when all is said and done. Maybe you end up with 7-8 wins. Maybe you end up with 9 wins. Let's say you get really hot and you get lucky on a couple of situations, you end up with 9 wins. And that's your you got 4 seniors, and is that your ceiling? Kinda. The way their things are going, how are you going to do better than that? And keep in mind, those 4 seniors are all guys that Romar recruited. So we'll have to see if these players are like that Hopkins brings in with his guys. So, it's sad for Huskies, and I'm gonna continue to harp on this because I really just feel that it has to change at the top. I think with Jen Cohen doing what she did, it was just completely wrong, and she needs to go. And then once she's gone, then, you build up the program, you see where it goes. Maybe you take another shot at it. Maybe you figure out, you really work hard to build the kind of recruiting mechanism recruiting organization that Lorenzo was able to put together with all his contacts and all his legacy of players, and you make another go of it. But I wouldn't get excited about it as long as she's in charge of the athletic department, because if she'd do something that stupid, why would she not do it again for basketball if something were to happen, I just don't know if there's any reason to get excited. Now, on the other hand, Seattle U, there's plenty of reason to get excited. They're up-and-coming program. They're going to win some games this year. They already have. They're playing tonight against Cal. That's exciting. It's must-watch basketball in the Seattle area. Playing against a Pac-12 team that's beatable on their home floor, where they're 7-0. That's something to watch. It's something exciting, we'll just have to see. I mean, Portland State beat up LMU, who gave UW trouble, and UW squeezed out a win. Okay, great. They got a win. They win. They didn't lose. That's good. But Portland State's in the Big Sky. Now, if UW is in the Big Sky, that's one thing. But they're not. Their football team's a national power now. Their volleyball team's a national power. Their softball team's a national power. you know, the women's basketball team is a national power last year, really. Even though they're having to kind of rebuild a new coach, it's a program that's right there nationally. And it's going to be, I believe. So why can't their men's basketball team be? That's my question. So on that note, you know, we got five more minutes. I mean, I think, you know, there's more to talk about really in the Northwest. I mean, you know, with Montana, you know, you got a really fun to watch team that's got a lot of interesting players that's going to keep on producing, I think, winners, you know. I mean, Montana is, they're doing pretty darn well. I mean, they got on the top, just as far as their stats, they got Ahmad Rory, who, you know, came from Tacoma and he's went to Oregon and played pretty well as a freshman, sat out a year, transferred to Montana. He's in his junior season now, averaging 19 points a game, 37 minutes a game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 turnovers. So, you know, he's not a completely dominant point guard, but he's got a point guard next to him that's helping him out with that. You know, and Michael Aguini, he's averaging 15. He's been their leading scorer a lot of times. He's averaging 6 rebounds a game, so a little bit more scrappy on the board, but also a little bit bigger, you know. You got, you got a team that's, you know, I think going to be able to compete in that Big Sky, and they haven't had the best year so far. And like I said, they lost Donovan Dorsey, the UW transfer that could have really helped them out this year. But they've had some good games. They had their game canceled with UCLA. They lost to a Georgia State game, state team by 3 on the road all the way in Georgia. And that's a really good team, by the way. And then they turn around and beat Riverside, Northridge, lost to a Stanford team that, you know, I'm sure that it's on the road. And, you know, they're going to have their game. They got some talent there. They're not going to lose to Eastern, Portland State, and Montana. They're going to get excited about a Big Sky team and figure out a way to beat them with that kind of talent. So, and they lost to Santa Barbara, and they lost to Penn State, of course, you know. But they beat Pittsburgh on the road, you know. They beat Oral Roberts, you know. They got some talent, and they're coming to town here shortly after they play Cal Irvine here in tonight at home in Missoula. They're coming to town to play UW. UW is going to be playing here shortly. They're going to be doing tonight against Bethune-Cookman. There's a team that they should beat and should beat handily. I mean, one would think Bethune-Cookman, you know, I mean, they're Bethune-Cookman Wildcats. They're 5-7, you know, but, you know, they've had a good season. They beat the Kennesaw State team that UW kind of, you know, did a pretty good number on, but they beat a USF team, Southern Florida team, by 20. They beat, they beat Boston University. They didn't beat Boston University. They beat Jacksonville, and they really haven't beaten anybody. They've been playing small college competition. They're a small time team, and UW should have a win over them. But you know, it's hard to say. Will UW really dominate them, or will they play down to them? It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. Then UW comes and plays Montana here, and I gotta say, you know, that's the game. People are saying, what are you worried about? You know, as far as UW goes, after they beat Kansas, they're going, are they going to be able to beat Gonzaga? I said, no chance. They're not going to do that. They're going to get beat bad, and they did. I said, the team I'm worried about is Montana, and I think there's, you know, Maude Rory comes to town playing against David Crisp. I think a lot of things could happen. And I don't really see that. I think, like Seattle U, I think those teams are close. So we'll see if I'm wrong or right. If UW is able to handle Montana, I think that goes a long way to, you know, showing that this season they'll be, at that point they'll be 10-3 going into conference play, which means they got 10 wins. That means if they win two games the rest of the way, like they did last year, there would be a 12-win team, what I thought they would be this year. So they're going to be better than I thought, which is great. And will they get to 15 wins? Will they get 5 wins in the Pac-12 or 6 wins? That would be great, and get to 16 wins and beat a Montana team and Bethune-Cookman and get to 16 wins, like a 500 year this year. That would be great. That would be a good showing. We'll just see if they can. I think it's possible. I think every week's a challenge, and I really hope that Mike Hopkins is coaching is, and as far as being able to get wins out of close games like he's been doing against arguably a lot weaker teams than Pac-12 teams, but just getting wins, however you do it, continues in the Pac-12, and we're not looking at another 2-3 win year in a basement team. Hopefully we're looking at a better year than that at UW. Anyway, well, for talking hoops, I know that this is all kind of negative, but I don't know what else to say. I think the positive stories around here have to do with Garfield High School and have to do with Seattle U and Idaho and Portland State and Montana and I think that Wazoo and UW are kind of struggling for that last rung in the Pac-12, and I don't see anything really encouraging that will change that. I don't see Luol Cinder come into either of those schools, or Michael Porter, you know, or anything that's going to really radically change, or even a slew of guys like, you know, Sidney Moncrief. Just guy, I don't see that kind of talent. I see these as kind of pedestrian high major programs in a very tough league. So the only thing you get excited about in basketball in the Northwest, really, as far as that goes, is high school. And then, of course, these smaller programs that are in these weaker leagues that were, they're going to be able to win, and they're going to be able to maybe get and compete and get to the postseason. And I think that's Seattle U. I think that's Idaho. I think that's Portland State. And and of course, Gonzaga and Oregon. Those are the teams that you have to get excited about if you're a basketball fan. And with no NBA in Seattle, it even makes it worse. So I'm doing my best to create a basketball show here, but that's what really is going on. So I think the truth has to unfortunately be what we live with, and that's what it is. If you like basketball, that's what you need to be doing, is following these teams. And you can root for UW all you want, or Wazoo. You know, and I hope they do well, and I'm going to be rooting for them. I'm going to be watching them, and I'm going to be rooting for David Crisp, and I'm going to be rooting for Matisse Thybulle. I'm going to be rooting for Noah Dickerson. I'm always going to be a Husky, and I'm always kind of sensitive and hope the Cougars do well, except when they play UW, and I'll be rooting for those guys. I'll be rooting for Robert Franks, who looks really good, actually, by the way. I'll be rooting for, you know, Malachi Flynn, who's also a real solid player, and I think they're going to win more games in the Pac-12 than UW, to be honest with you. So there's that, and I will see you next week, and hopefully there'll be some news to talk about that's a little chipper and more bright when it comes to our local Pac-12 teams. But I think as we get close to the Pac-12, I think I'll prove to be right. This is the kind of reality we live with right now. But if I'm wrong, I'll be very happy, very happy. And I'll see you next week. Jim Bassnight for Talking Hoops. I know it sounds crazy to say always be a good sport always, with my dire feelings about the home team, but home teams. But I'm going to say that anyway. Always be a good sport. Be a good sport always. So long. See you next week.